note was all too brief. It had been placed where they believed it would be readily found, under the cairn marking the exploration of the region by an earlier expedition. The note simply read, 25th, April 1848. Her Majesty's ships Terror and Erebus were deserted on the 22nd of April, 5 leagues north, northwest of this spot, having been beset since 12th of September, 1846. The officers and crews, consisting of 105 souls, under the command of Captain F.R.M. Crozier. Sir John Franklin died on the 11th of June, 1847. And the total loss by deaths in the expedition has been to this date 9 officers and 15 men. Signed, James Fitzjames, Captain HMS Erebus. Signed, F.R.M. Crozier, Captain and Senior Officer. And on tomorrow, 26th, start for Back's Fish River. And on tomorrow, the 26th, we start for Back's Fish River. We start for Back's Fish River. Consisting of 105 souls. 105 souls. 105 souls.
In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Sing it. In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting in deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Singing, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Singing, a mournful despair. icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives. There's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Singing, oh, the ghost of the Franklin Expedition.
The people knew the familiar ghosts, the ancestors who shared their enduring wisdom through dreams and visions. The familiar ghosts had taught them about the seasons and how to prepare for each. They had shown the people about the cold, about how to track and to hunt, and what they must do to avoid starvation. How to listen to the ice, how to smell the wind, how to find that which cannot be seen. The familiar ghosts helped the people in every facet of their lives. Listen and the ghosts will speak, teach, and show. They know the ways of the land and the sea. The ways, as they had always been. Had been for so many generations. It was the ghost elders who told them to come north in the early summer to the island where the seals, the walrus, and the whales abound. To pick the berries, catch the fish, and resupply before winter. But there were new ghosts. With very white faces. Long beards and blue eyes. Those ghosts haunted the land and the ice. Lost. Never knowing where to go or what to do. Help us, they wailed. Save us. Feed us. Bring us warmth. Lost. Never knowing what to do.
In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep.
We were homeward bound one night on the deep. Swinging in my hammock, I fell asleep. I dreamed a dream and I thought it true concerning Franklin and his gallant crew. With 100 seamen he sailed away to the frozen ocean in the month of May to seek a passage around the pole where all poor sailors do sometimes go. Through cruel hardships they vainly strove. Their ships on mountains of ice was drove. Only the Eskimo with his skin canoe was the only one that ever came through. In Baffin's Bay where the whale fish blow, the fate of Franklin no man may know. The fate of Franklin no tongue can tell, and Lord Franklin among his seamen do dwell. And now my burden it gives me pain, for my Lord Franklin I'd sail the main. £10,000 I would freely give. To know Lord Franklin, and where he is. From Lady Franklin's Lament. A popular song in the 1850s.
In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep.
When the people came north in the early summer, as they always did, to the island where the seals, the walrus, and the whales abound, they found, frozen in the ice, a very large and very strange boat. They remembered that sometimes traders from the south came to parlay furs for metal goods, but their boats were different. Small wooden ones. However, this large and strange boat was different. It had masts as tall as trees and a metal pipe that belched black smoke, and its hull was also covered in copper. At first, the hunters thought it brought danger. Smoked, yes, yet it was not on fire. Strange. Menacing. Nonetheless, the hunters carefully ventured aboard. They found that the large, strange boat was not derelict, broken into pieces by the ice, as they had expected. No, it was in excellent condition and appeared well cared for. Down below, in one of the cabins, they found a very tall, white-skinned man with a bright red beard, lying dead in his bunk. He was fully clothed, wearing both his sealskin fur coat and his leather boots. He seemed peaceful. His ghost brought no alarm. The Inuit hunters did not know it, but this tall man may have been the last member of the ill-fated expedition originally led by Sir John Franklin. The archaeologists who recorded the story from the Inuit believe that this last survivor was a junior officer on the HMS Terror, which was Franklin's flagship. It was commanded by Francis Crozier, who on an earlier expedition had commanded it to the Antarctic. It is possible that this last survivor was also a veteran of the earlier Antarctic expedition. If so, he was probably an officer that Crozier fully trusted. His orders would probably have been to keep the HMS Terror in excellent condition so it could be used later, possibly for a return to England. From the note recovered under the memorial cairn, we know that on April 22, 1848, the two captains abandoned their ships and led 105 souls on a trek toward Back's Fish River. Could they have left an officer behind as a caretaker for the ship? Very possibly. He died peacefully asleep in his bunk. So, his ghost did not haunt the Inuit as the ghosts of the other white ones did. Both of Franklin's ships, the HMS Erebus and the HMS Terror, were technological marvels of their age. They had a cast-iron propeller powered by a specially designed steam engine. They could average a speed of just over 4 knots running just their engine. They also could use their sails for even greater efficiency. Knowing the ships were headed to icy waters, the designers created special ironclad protective wells into which both the rudder and the propeller could be drawn into. The steam engine also heated the crew's quarters, and, uniquely, distilled sea water to produce water both for drinking and for use in the steam engine. And, as we said, they were clad in copper. For the Inuit, the ship's technology had no value, but the copper cladding and the metal tools aboard the ships had immense worth both for trading and for keeping. It would have been indeed a treasure. Copper was far more valued than gold.
In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness, haunting and deep, of lost souls trapped in...
There must be a way across the top of the world to Asia. The most powerful empire in the world, the most technologically advanced civilization ever, the British Empire wanted exclusive access through what was known as the Northwest Passage to the rich Asian markets. The northern route was so much shorter than going around the Horn. Maybe just a month by steamship from Liverpool to Bengal. And so much of the route had already been explored. A mere 300 miles was all that yet needed to be charted. It was easy to convince Parliament to fund the expedition, and the Royal Navy was enthusiastic about undertaking it. Sir John Franklin was indeed the man for the job. He had guided 3 previous expeditions to the frozen north. He knew it as well as any European, and he was given the best ships in the Royal Navy fully provisioned for at least 3 years. No one foresaw the calamity that would result. No one foresaw the tragedy of being perpetually frozen in the ice.
In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness, haunting and deep, of lost souls trapped in eternal sleep.
In 1854, the Hudson's Bay Company sent a team to King William Island and the Boothia Peninsula to update their charts and to explore commercial opportunities. The leader of the survey team reported back that he now knew what had happened to the members of the Franklin expedition. The Inuit hunters he spoke with told him that the 2 ships had become icebound, and after months of being trapped, they had abandoned their ships and attempted to reach safety on foot. They had walked along the edge of the island, but they eventually were overcome by the freezing temperatures. A few survivors became so desperate that they were forced to cannibalism. The British press refused to accept that members of the Royal Navy would ever fall so low as to resort to performing such despicable, subhuman acts. The British, after all, were a civilized European people, not savages. So, the press romanticized the plight of the crew, avoiding all mention of such despicable actions. However, over a century later, archaeologists uncovered incontrovertible evidence that indeed during the final desperate weeks of the expedition, some members of it were forced into cannibalism. Unfortunately, even that was not enough. All perished. As the people whispered in their own dread. But now there were new ghosts, with very white faces, long beards, and blue eyes. Those ghosts haunted the land and the ice. Lost. Never knowing where to go or what to do. Help us, they wailed. Save us. Feed us. Bring us warmth. Lost. Never knowing what to do.
As the months dragged on and the crew of the Erebus and Terra remained trapped in the ice, the ghosts of the Franklin expedition grew more restless and desperate. They appeared to the living in dreams and visions, their hollow eyes filled with sorrow and longing. Some crew members claimed to hear the ghostly cries of their fallen comrades echoing across the frozen landscape, a haunting reminder of the tragedy that had befallen them. As the Arctic winter descended in full force, the surviving crew members faced a grim reality. With supplies running dangerously low and no hope of rescue in sight, they knew that their chances of survival were slim. Many succumbed to illness and despair, their bodies left to freeze in the unforgiving cold. But amidst the despair and darkness, a glimmer of hope emerged. The ghosts from the beyond came to guide and lead, to connect the living and the dead. Follow us, the ghostly apparitions urged, and we'll show you the way, providing direction in your time of need. Follow us, we know the way. The ghosts of fallen comrades were once feared and misunderstood, nightmares to be forgotten with the new day. But now they return to offer comfort, friendship, and solace. Hold on to your hope. All will soon be well. Be reassured. We know you are on the brink of despair, but follow us and we'll warn of dangers and lead you to hidden sources of food and warmth. Follow us. Follow us. We'll lead. No need for despair. Just follow us. Till as the months dragged on and the ships remained trapped in the ice, the ghosts of the Franklin expedition grew more restless and desperate. They appeared to the living in dreams and visions, their hollow eyes filled with sorrow and longing. Follow us, we know the way. Follow us, we know the way. Follow us, we know the way.
Where the sun hides and the chill deceives. There's a tale of darkness, haunting and deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Sing it. But the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. But the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. In the icy depths of the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting in deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives, there's a tale of darkness haunting him deep, of the lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Singing, oh, the northern seas, where the sun hides and the chill deceives. There's a tale of darkness, haunting and deep, of lost souls trapped in eternal sleep. Singing, northern seas, where the sun hides.